Hope everybody's having a good week, good day, and today is Father's Day, and if I picked on mothers, I have to pick on fathers, you know, it's just the way it works. So, all of you who are fathers, I would like for you, if you would, to please stand. We owe you. And for those of you who are grandfathers, I would like for you to remain standing. Wow. And for those of you who are great-grandfathers, we have a new one this year, remain standing. 2, 4, 6, 7. Excellent, excellent. Do we have any great-greats? I don't think we have any great-greats, do we? No, we have a couple. We have a great-great-grandma, but not grandpas. Thank you. We are in your debt. As I mentioned to the children this morning, the Bible never tells mothers to raise up their children in this training and instruction of the Lord. It tells fathers to do that in Ephesians 6. Now, this morning's lesson is not specifically honoring fathers as much as it's giving a message that fathers want their children to learn. If you were going to take a message that this culture that we're in right now desperately needs, it would be this one. It's standing at the edge of self-discovery. How do you discover who you really are, why you're really here, where you really came from? How do you discover that? And Cody shared with me a spoken word text. It's called, "The Sea Always Seems to Put Me at Ease." And it starts out with a man standing up over a cliff, just looking out at the sea. And what he thinks, what he discovers as he's doing that. And so Cody's going to share that with us, if you would, to get us started this morning. We're going to take that reading, and then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24, and we'll do that after we listen to his reading. But I want us to listen to this text that he shares. It's from a group called Being as an Ocean, and it's lyrics to one of their songs. And I would like for you to hear that from him at this time. Cody, why don't you come up and share that?
You are the topic of every epic that we've ever been told. And as I stand on this cliff, the wind whips through me and I am made bold. Once again, your presence creeps into my consciousness, grace made tangible in this newly anointed place. And I am brought to my clear senses that none of my perceived failings or disgrace has ever touched my being or inheritance. I am whole. I am clean. I am free. And I'm brought to my knees. Sink in. Permeate this weary flesh. Breathe life as clean and fresh as this salt season breeze. Please, Father, pull me to my feet. Why are you kneeling, my son? I put strength in that backbone, knowing you would fall. But I promise, you will never taste defeat. You are whole. You are clean. You are free. Get up. Rise from your knees. We can no longer linger in the shadow of our shame and brokenness. For as sure as the wind blows, he has already redeemed all of this. Live as whole. Live as clean. Live as free. Everything you were made to be, standing at the edge of self-discovery, tired and weary, our body trembles, buckles. We are afraid of being hurt again, being stabbed in the back by our own friends. We don't know if we can mend. Minds riddled with unsuccessful recoveries. Lord, we're scared, we're terrified. But dive in we must, for there has to be something better than this. But we see testimony of you in the sea. In your creation, all of nature. So with a sudden rush, we abandon our solitary perching place. And as we wash away the morning dust, immersed, we see your face.
Amen. Thank you. Amazing. Do you see God? Do you see God in the creation around you? Why? Do you see God? For what purpose do we see God? What do we discover about ourselves when we see God? We're going to start in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24. The Apostle Paul discovers and then shares his role in Christ. If you have your Bibles, we don't put the scriptures on the screen because we want you guys digging in your own Bibles. That's why we do that on purpose. All right? I used to put the scriptures up there, but you're supposed to have your Bible. Get into it. And if you don't have it, there's one in the pew. All right? Colossians 1, starting in verse 24. He says, "Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints." He says, that's why I became a minister. I became a minister because there's a revelation of his mystery that comes. And I didn't do it for me. God did it in me for you. The blessings you have in your life are not for you. You really want to discover self? It's not about you. The world has got all this self-discovery, self-help, self-actualization, self-everything. And God says, no. If you want to follow Jesus, what do? You deny yourself, you take up your cross and follow him. And the more miserable, the more you think about yourself, the more miserable you become. Truth? Yeah. You want to have joy? It's more blessed to give than receive, right? As you live your life for others, you find out why you're really here. Okay? And of all the pictures, I couldn't find a picture that I wanted to have. And then I found a picture of the disciples watching Jesus rise in his ascension in Acts chapter 1. I put in, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? Remember when the two angels came by? And so why he said, I just want to see them just looking at Jesus, just amazed by Jesus. Because if I can live my life amazed by Jesus, this is going to work. And the message that he shares here, let's take a look at it. Okay, how does our culture strive for self-discovery? How many million self-help books get sold every year? Okay, this will make you richer, this will make you smarter, this will make you skinnier, this will make you healthier, this will, whatever. We got self-help books for everything. But I need to be stronger, I need to be thinner, I need to be, but I don't need to do it for me. I need to do it so I can bless my kids. I do it so I can bless my wife. I do it so I can bless my neighbors. I do it so I can bless you. I'm not here for me. You're not here for you. And our self-discovery lessons, we stop in the wrong place. Everything God gives you is not for you. And if you think that, you're going to be miserable. It's not for you. It's for others. You're here to bless your mama. You're here to bless your dad today. Okay? You're here to bless your grandparents. You're here to bless the people around you. We're not here for us. Now, how does Paul realize and then live the only real way that discovers self? Okay? Paul sees who he is. He said here, he says, I'm filling up what's lacking in Christ's affliction. In other words, Jesus lived on the earth. He suffered. I'm going to suffer just because I'm part of the body of Christ. Okay? And he says, I was made a minister according to stewardship from God to make the word fully known to you. The mystery that was hidden back has now been revealed to us. He says, and he's going to tell us what the mystery is here in the next verse. But I want us to understand that all these blessings we have them for a purpose. Everything you learn about self, you have it for a purpose, and it's not, the purpose is not for self, it's from self. Look at verse 27. The mystery revealed to all believers now supplies the hope of glory. He said in verse 26, the mystery that's been hidden from ages past has now been revealed to saints. Verse 27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what the mystery always was? The mystery wasn't Jesus was going to come down the earth and live as a child and then live as a man. That wasn't the mystery. It wasn't that he was going to die on the cross and be raised from the dead. That wasn't the mystery. The mystery was he did that for a purpose. And the reason why he did that is so that when he ascended up into heaven and all those eyes are watching him going up into heaven, okay, he's not done. He's going up into heaven saying, see you guys down there? You're going to get it done. You guys are going to be the man. Those guys standing there watching him ascend into heaven, they're the mystery. They're the answer. And we're those guys. You can stand at the edge of the sea, like Cody shared with us so beautifully, and just look and see God. But there's a reason why you look and see God. You look and see God so that God can live through you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's the hope of glory for you. It's the hope of glory for everybody in your life. It's the hope of glory for the church. It's the hope of glory for the world. Christ living through us. When he's ascending up into heaven, looking down at those guys, and they're looking up at him like they are in that picture. Okay? That's us. He wants to live on the earth. Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he wasn't done. Jesus ascended to heaven and said, this is going to be so good. Okay? Because when I was stuck on the earth, I could only be blessing the people where I was. Now I'm going to be able to bless people everywhere. I'm going to bless people in your life and in your life and in your life and in your life. I'm going to bless people all your lives. And I'm going to use you. I'm going to live through you, Jesus says. I'm going to live through every one of you. And the extent to which you allow Jesus to bless your world through you is why you're here. It's why I'm here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how does living for Jesus discover and bless self better than all of our human attempts? Because our human attempts tend to get me all wrapped up in me. And a person wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. Okay? You're not supposed to be wrapped up in you. You're here to live for others. You're here to be the light of the world. You're here to be the salt of the earth. Okay? God wants to live through us. You're here to be the hope of glory. Christ living in you and through you is the hope of glory. Okay? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, if I just live for him, he's pleased. He's glorified. I want him glorified in everything I say, everything I do. Some days I get selfish and I don't do that. How about you? Yeah. But the days that I'm really living for him fully, those are the best days ever. Right? You want to have a good day? Be that light of the world. Be that hope of glory in your world. Now, try that again. Okay, what does Christ in you, the hope of glory, look like when it's in action? Well, what'd Jesus do? Okay, Jesus gave that to his disciples. The first time the disciples see Jesus in John 1, 35, you know, they told John, they told John the Baptist, hey, you know, we like you and all this, but we're going to go follow. You said he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We're going to go follow him. So they leave John and go follow Jesus. When they get to Jesus, what's the first thing Jesus says to him? Or first, what do they say? He says, what do you want? And they say, where are you staying? And it says he just stayed with him for a few days. It doesn't tell us what they talked about, prayed about, did. It just says they spent time with Jesus. And as they, Cody's words, stood on the edge of that sea, they saw him. And when they saw him, their lives were never the same. They saw him for a purpose. We see Jesus for a purpose. We don't just see Jesus so we can sit around and be saved. The whole idea of sitting around being saved is not Bible. Okay? We are saved for a purpose. That's why you weren't snatched up into heaven as soon as you were baptized. We are saved for a purpose. Jesus wants to live on the earth through you and through me. And my job is to let him. Your job is to. Okay. Christ in you, the hope of glory, looks like Jesus washing dirty feet. It looks like the disciples bringing food to hungry people. It looks like the disciples teaching people about the kingdom of God. It looks like the disciples raising people from the dead and healing. It looks like them serving others. Jesus taught the disciples to serve others. He is teaching us to serve others. So, our self-discovery is realized as we proclaim our message, which is Him. He is our message, as we proclaim Him with our lives. Look what it says in verse 28. He says, too often we just read verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we stop there. Look at verse 28. He says, in Him we proclaim. What's our message, Jesus? Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. He says, our message is Him. You want to teach people something? You teach them Jesus and you proclaim Him. How do you proclaim Him? The best way to proclaim Him, would people rather hear a sermon or see one? You want to proclaim Him? Do it with your life. Okay? I've told you before here, some haven't heard it. Old preachers walk around talking. Preachers say stupid stuff. I know I'm a preacher. Okay. And they're talking about this. They say, well, what's your favorite translation of the Bible? Well, I like the King James. I grew up with that. That was my mom's favorite translation. It's the most poetic, you know. And the other say, well, I like the New American Standard. I think it's the most accurate, and especially in the New Testament with the Greek. So what do you like? And the guy said, I was like my mother's. He says, your mother wrote a translation of the Bible? I said, no, she lived it. Okay? All right? You want to proclaim Christ? You live it. You live the Word of God. By their fruits, you'll know them. We need to live that. We need to live in such a way that when they see us, they see Christ. Christ in you. We need to live in such a way that... Zechariah 8, verse 23, that 10 men from the nations will grab a hold of one of God's people and say to him, come, let us go with you, because we've heard that Christ is with you. Our job is to live in such a way that people who want to be close to Christ want to hang around with us because they know that will help. They've seen it by our example. We're proclaiming Him, and we're proclaiming Him with our example. Okay? I'm getting ahead of my outline. Okay. Why does proclaiming Him involve more than just our words? Okay? It says we do that with all wisdom, because if you just say it and then your words don't back it up, if you don't practice what you preach, you undo your words with how you're living. And you don't want that to happen. Also here, how do we continue our task to bring others who are mature in Christ? If you notice, this is not just about bringing people to Christianity. Christianity is not find them, teach them, dip them, and leave them. Okay? That's not the goal of the Christian life. It's to bring them on to maturity. How do you get to maturity? Read Hebrews 5, verse 11 to the end of the chapter. He says, the time has come, okay, when... You know, you need it, but you can't hear it because you're dull of hearing. Okay? I want to teach you all this stuff, but you're dull of hearing. You're not listening. And so he goes on and he says, you have become such as need milk and not strong meat. Strong meat is for the mature who by practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It's by putting the Word of God into practice that you are matured. It's by doing it that you're matured. And so if we're going to bring people to maturity, like this verse says, we need to help them practice doing the love of God. That's why Jesus sent the men out two by two. That's why Jesus had them carry food to 5,000 people. That's why Jesus had them go out and help and heal and bless the people around them. Okay? Because by serving, they learn to be servants. They learn to live the life of Christ by putting it into practice. So our continued task is to bring people to Christ and bring them to maturity. So, as we live, Okay. We live as we struggle and toil by the strength of his energy in us. Notice what it says in the last verse there that we're going to look at, verse 29. It says, For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Okay? You don't struggle with just your strength, because sometimes my strength's not enough. Okay? Sometimes my strength just doesn't get it done. I need his strength. Okay? You can't get it done on your own. I can't get it done on my own. I need to cheat and pray. Okay? I need to find my strength in him. So, what do we need to let go of to better labor with his energy? Okay? We've got a song in our books, None of Self and All of Thee. It starts out with all of self and none of thee. And then more of self and less of thee. And then some of self and some of thee. And then less of self and more of thee. And the last verse is none of self and all of thee. And that's the way you live for God. I got to quit trusting Jack. Because when I do that, I have a lot of faith and a weak bridge. I need to trust God because I have a faith like a mustard seed, but it's in a strong bridge. Okay? If I have more faith in him and less faith in me, I do better. Because he has more strength. And so in verse 29, when he says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." Have you seen people that just keep on serving and keep on serving, and you think, how in the world they do that? They cheated. They prayed. They got that strength from God. God helped them live with energy they didn't have of themselves. How did the apostles get everything done they got done in one century? In less than a century, one out of every five people in the Roman Empire is a Christian. How in the world they do that? They worked with God's strength that he powerfully works within them. The Spirit wants to powerfully work with us, within us, and he does. Some days we let him do it more than others. But this is what Christianity is all about. It's living for Jesus. So, with what must we fill our days if we want to labor with his energy? I give you a hint. You don't do it with dusty Bibles. You don't do it when you haven't been down on your knees in prayer. You don't do it without meditation. You also don't do it with service for God, for others, for the kingdom of God. Okay? It's putting it into practice. As we live for him in the acts and the habit of living for him, we grow. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we grow up unto him who's the head in all things, even Christ. So as you're doing it, you're growing. As you're sharing it, you're growing. But you have to get that. What's the source? The source materials, faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Romans 10:17. You want to be, if you lack wisdom, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, right? James 1, verse 5. Okay? Who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Okay? If you want strength, you ask that from God. If you want courage, you ask that from God. Okay, guys, I don't know how to say this. We are never going to live for Jesus like we need to live for Jesus until we learn to pray like the early Christians prayed. Okay? Read the prayers in your New Testament. How'd they pray? Okay, I'll give you a hint. That which is seen is temporal. That which is unseen is eternal. Right? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Okay. So guess how they prayed? They prayed for insight, wisdom, understanding. Truth? They prayed for courage. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for open doors for the gospel. They prayed that their words might be seasoned, as it were, with salt, so they would know how to answer every man. What did they pray for? They prayed for being Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? That's what they prayed for. Yes, you know, Paul had left Trophimus sick, and there were others that they prayed for in other situations. But 9 times out of 8, they're praying so that, that's pretty often if you're doing fractions, okay? They're praying for God to be able to live more fully in their lives. That's the heart of their prayers. Okay? That needs to be the heart of our prayers. It's not for me. It's not bless my house, bless my family, bless my kids, bless my, for Jesus' sake, amen. No. We need to pray for his sake and pray for the things that build up his kingdom, that get his gospel to the world, and that bring people mature in Christ to him. Okay, now let's go back and look at those same two verses again. For the Christian, self-discovery is about living for Jesus. That's it. You really want to discover you? You live for Jesus. And the more you live for Jesus, guess what? You find the real you that you were supposed to be. You find the real you that Christ is making you to be. Christ is forming you to be. And you do that in the process of giving yourselves others. As you're in the process. I love that. Do you remember when Jesus healed the lepers, the 10 lepers? And as they were on their way, they were healed. You notice that? As they were on their way, they were healed. In other words, as we're doing the life of Christ, as we're living and being the life of Christ, as we're being Christ in you, the hope of glory, guess what happens? As that goes on, we're becoming who we need to be. Okay? I want to read verse 28 and 29 again. Okay. We proclaim him, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that powerfully works within me. We're doing all this to live for Jesus. Now, what's the underlying problem with all of our attempts at self-help and self-discovery? Self, right? Our problems with self-help and self-discovery are focusing on me. Don't do that. You focus on how you can be a blessing to others. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, what will happen to self when Christ powerfully works within us? You become who you were really intended to be. Our Bible class this morning, we looked at Daniel. How did Daniel get to be the person in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that we know the most about without any recorded sin in his life is Daniel. The person we have the most information about in the Old Testament without any recorded sin. Everybody sins and falls short of God. It just doesn't tell us what Daniel's was. Okay? But we know more about him. How did he get that way? He prayed to God. He was devoted to God. He stood up for God. He did those things. He lived for God instead of living for himself. That's the way we're supposed to live. So, when you live for God, self becomes what you really are supposed to be. So, the lesson this morning is to surrender self to become the Christ-empowered hope of glory. This world needs the hope of glory, and the only access to it is us. Ephesians 3:21 is not a mistake. It says, to him be glory for all ages. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It doesn't say through Christ and the church. It says, through the church and Christ Jesus, to him be glory for all ages, world without end. He gives the church top billing because he blessed in the flesh for 33 years, and he's blessed in the church for almost 2,000, and he's not done yet. So, what focus is going to help us better discover our purpose and worth? Yeah, we need to stand on the edge of the sea. And when life makes us go down to our knees, God says, stand up, I gave you a backbone. I want you to be strong with the strength I give you. And I like that, really like that part of the reading. Thank you. Okay? But you have strength you don't know of, and you can find it in prayer. Now, how are we living out Christ in you, the hope of glory? Not how should we, how are we? When people see you, you know people. I could point out and name names and embarrass people, but that's not why we're here this morning. Some of you guys just live Christ so well. Thank you. Thank you. Keep that up. But how well are we doing that? Some days better than others. But you want to have a full life? Make that your goal every day, to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how's your example proclaiming Christ? We proclaim Him. He's our message. Our message is Jesus. We just tell people about Jesus. We don't have some set of rule books. We just tell people about Jesus because He's amazing and we're amazed. So we proclaim Him. We do it with our lips and we do it with our lives. Okay? If you remember in Acts 8, when Philip got to the Ethiopian treasure, he got to hope of, got up to his chariot, and he said, it says he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We proclaim Him. He's our message. Now, how fully are you living in the power of Christ? See, Christ has power to give, and we have power, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, to overcome strongholds. We have power, nothing can take us on. We have power the world can't imagine. It's spiritual, but the spiritual is way more powerful than in the physical anyway. We have power to demolish strongholds. Now, how are you going to more fully live for Jesus this week? This guy wrote tunes. He wrote he was writing a tune for a Christian children's, assembly. And he wrote this tune, and he liked the tune, but he thought his words were too wimpy. And so he sent his words to a guy who was then living in Indiana, who was known for writing Christian songs. He'd written over 800 of them. And he just wrote on the top of his tune, he crossed out, he got rid of all the words, he left the tune there, and he wrote at the top, Living for Jesus, and he sent this to this guy. He said, I need you to write lyrics to fill this in. I want us to think of those lyrics as we sing that song this morning. It's 676 in your book, but it's going to be on the screen, so you don't have to worry about that. But living for Jesus is what we've been talking about all morning. And you do have that. Okay, good. All right. Yeah. And so I want us to see how we could better do that. And as we do that, how we can be really self-realized. If you're not yet born in Christ, you can't share with somebody something you don't have. If you've already been baptized in Christ and you're not living it, whatever we can do to help you do that, we call you to come while we stand and while we sing.